Hello, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
U-C-R.
One?
UCR.
Go.
We say it what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of your favorite show, No Rules, Just Mike. We are the No Rules radio show that is bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. And we are your hosts. We're here every Tuesday for you. I am Topher, as usual, and we have Christian on the line. Christian, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing great. Excited to be back. We had an awesome show last week, and I have a feeling we're going to be doing it again. Got some new listeners here. At least that's what I'm told. So I'm going to come in and check the chat room here to verify. But, yeah, excited to be back and ready to do this.
Yeah, me too. And tonight we actually have our first screener. We have Toku, who is nice enough to kind of help us out with screening phone calls. So we have
Woo!
Him on the line, and we might be able to kind of talk to him in a little bit as well. But I want to kind of dive right into our weekend. Christian, I know that I saw you on Wednesday for your birthday, which was the first time that we've seen each other face-to-face in, like, months.
Yes, I know. We live a decent hike away from each other, and we have, situations where I got to work weekends in the new house. It's been tough, so it was awesome to get not just you and Matt, but some other friends as well that I hadn't seen in some time also for a late birthday dinner at a restaurant in downtown Charleston. I don't know about you. Restaurant was okay. Our server was not very good, as you were very vocal about. the food was pretty good. The drinks were really, really good. And it was, whatever. I was happy just hanging out with a group of my good friends, and that's all I really wanted to do anyway. So it worked out, even if the server, she wasn't quite on her game.
Yeah. It was fun. And even Matthew said, tell Christian that it was really good seeing you and Chelsea on Wednesday, because, it's been so long since we've hung out, and it's been so long since we've, done anything like that together in a while. It's just
right,
good to see you. But, just to kind of dive in a little bit on the conversation that we were just talking about, the restaurant was called it was really good. It was called the Rare Bit,
R-A-R-E-B-I-T.
Is that right?
Correct. That's right. Yep.
Rare Bit. Yeah, it's a new restaurant that opened up in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. It's on King Street, if you guys are from here. It's worth going for the experience. I think we all deduced that it was a 1920s, like a remake of a 1920s diner. They had fish and chips, and they had chicken and waffles, and they had burgers, and they had just a bunch of that kind of stuff. The drinks were pretty awesome. They had specialty cocktails, which was really, really good. I got the Greyhound, which was, it's like vodka with I think it was like grapefruit juice and a little bit of like lemonade or limeade. It was very tasty. And Christian, what did you have again? I don't remember.
It's the place's their signature drink, I guess. I mean, other places make it as well, but they are kind of known for it. It's called the Moscow Mule. And they,
that's
number
right.
One, they serve it in these like sweet looking antique, almost copper cups, which look really cool. Plus it makes you feel like you step back in time a little bit. And keeps the drink, like, extremely cold, like, much better than any other, like a normal glass would do.
Right.
And it had some interesting ingredients, like ginger beer was one of the ingredients. I don't think there was many. I think it was, like, ginger beer and then some alcohol, which is eluding me now, maybe gin or vodka, I can't remember. And then, like, one other thing, like, some other kind of sweet flavor. It was really, really good. I know you tried a little bit of it, and
yeah, it was tasty.
It was pretty tasty, absolutely.
That's great. Yeah, it's awesome. I got the fish and chips because I'm Irish, and I think fish and chips are probably the best thing on the planet, especially with a little bit of malt vinegar. And I think the majority of the people at our table got the chicken and waffles. What did you think of those?
Yeah,
I thought they were good, but
yeah, they were pretty good. I was a little disappointed because that was another one I heard was supposed to be pretty good. And chicken and waffles is like making a comeback, especially in the South. Some places it's always been popular, like in Atlanta, there's some places they have it. I know in New York, some places have served it for a long time. But a lot of places
right.
down here in Charleston are putting it on their menu. Waffles were phenomenal. They had this really nice syrup and butter that was just great. Chicken was okay. It's a little disappointing, but, you know, you can't win them all. It seemed like everybody enjoyed their food. Like, it was good. It wasn't anything, like, you're going to be screaming, calling home about. But, no, it wasn't bad.
Right, right. Yeah, it was pretty tasty. But I think overall for Matthew and I, it was just the experience and you know, kind of hanging out with you and the missus again, for the first time in a long time. I think the last time that Matthew saw you was the food truck, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, food truck rodeo that we went to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, this daylight saving time is really kicking my ass. I don't know about you, but I wish it would just stop.
Dude, tell me about, like, I was off on Sunday, and Saturday, we had a couple of friends who live in the neighborhood, friends of my girlfriend's, you know, that she works with, and also Mr. Burson, who's in the chat room, was nice enough to stop by our house. So we hung out and had a fire in our backyard, you know, like a little fire pit. Just had them out for a little bit. Most people had to work the next day. So anyway, so I had some drinks and whatnot, and luckily, I didn't have to work, so I got to sleep in. So I was great all day Sunday, and I thought that was going to cure me. But for some reason, man, going into work yesterday and today, you know, I got up. You know, I got the same amount of sleep I normally would, but just because I'm getting up at a time that really is, like, you know, an hour earlier, my body, I feel like it still knows that it's really early that I'm getting up, even though it's only an hour. And I'm still getting the same amount of sleep I did before. It just feels like I'm off these last few days.
Yeah, me too. I hate it because, like, my internal clock is still set for an hour behind. So it's weird. It's like I feel
right,
I definitely
that's what
feel
I,
like I've
yeah,
lost
exactly.
sleep. You know, I
right.
definitely feel like I've lost sleep. I'm definitely listless. And even Matthew, I mean, like yesterday he spent the entire day just in bed. I mean, I really, it sucks. I know that there was rumors around that they were supposed to be going away and that, you know, that they were supposed to get rid of it. But believe it or not, people in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, it's about 25 minutes away from downtown. They don't celebrate it. I don't think you celebrate it. They don't partake in daylight savings time. I don't
Seriously,
know if you're aware of that.
They choose to ignore it? No, I didn't.
No,
really
I'm
just
serious.
Ignore it completely.
Like, yeah, I was listening to the radio. I was listening to 95SX on yesterday, and Mike, the guy, was saying something to the effect of that they don't partake in it. So, I mean, they're probably
really,
every day.
As I was going to say, I don't really think it's something that you can just choose not to unless you're, like, retired. But even so, when
right.
things are starting, movie times and meetings and restaurant hours, you kind of have to adhere to what they're doing. I did not hear that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to confirm yeah. that. That might have been a Monk's Corner joke because Monk's Corner is Monk's Corner. But I'll have to
All
confirm
right.
that. I'll have to verify that. So I will get back to everybody on that. But I want to jump into the real quick. I'm going to do a quick Weight Watcher update. A lot of changes have happened. I don't know. It didn't look like I was being dainty at the restaurant, I'm sure, because of the food that I ate and how many pieces of fish that were on the plate. But I lost another belt loop in my belt. I'm down another little belt loop. My watch, I'm down another little belt loop on my watch, and for the first time in probably about 2 or 3 years, I'm now wearing medium shirts. So,
nice.
I'm
now.
Coming along. I weigh in tomorrow, so I'll post that on the No Rules Just Mike Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NoRulesJustMike. So I'm very excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for you. You should be really excited. You've been kicking ass at that, and that's really great. I know some other folks in the chat room were telling us some things that they were going to do. Burson mentioned he was doing the whole no soda, no sweet tea, no coffee thing. Coffee, you know, turns out not really a big deal for him. He wasn't doing it anyway. But the sweet tea and soda thing, he was talking about how he kicked it. He's got more energy and feeling good, so congrats to him as well. You
absolutely.
Guys are doing a kick-ass job. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I know. It's an amazing thing that you guys are doing for sure. I'm glad you guys have stayed motivated and kicking some butt. You got a lot more willpower than I do. Thankfully, I'm not in the market for losing weight, but I would love to get in better shape and, get back to where I was when I used to play sports and stuff when I was younger. But I do not have the motivation. So it's even more impressive to me. Awesome.
Tough.
Congrats.
Thank you. I want to start running. I hate running. I really do. It's just one of those things where I'd rather go to the dentist and have feet pulled than run.
Ugh.
But, I think it's good for you. It's good cardio. It's good for your heart. It's
right.
good for a whole bunch of things. And you get to go outside and, just kind of, be a part of the outside element. So I think maybe this weekend I might go for a brisk walk around my neighborhood and see how I like it, see what happens. But
we'll tune in
next week
for the
reality of what actually happens.
right. Well, that's a good way to do it. Just kind of build yourself up so that way you don't shoot your confidence down. That's what I always end up doing. Like, I'm going to go running, and then I go out there, and I feel good for, a few steps, and then I'm just going way too fast, and I'm, so tired. And, you get upset with yourself, forget it. I don't want to do this. I'm so out of shape. And I'm not realizing that, you're out of shape. That's how it's going to be. That's the big thing with losing weight or getting in shape. It's a big mental block that you have to get through a lot of time. It's just as mental as it is anything else, if not more so. But
yeah,
no, it's awesome.
It's tough. It's definitely tough. I mean, I think it's kind of up there with it's almost like a life change, if you know what I mean. You're really trying to commit to live your life a specific way. It's a stretch, but hear me out. When I was coming out, it was a decision of how do I want to live my life and in what way do I want to be perceived, in society? What way do I want to, when I look in the mirror, what do I want to see? Do I want to be happy with who I am when I look in the mirror? For years, especially, going through school, there was definitely a lot of bullying, so it was really hard to kind of find your sense of self. And I kind of chalk it up to, choosing a better lifestyle for myself as far as trying to be healthy and trying to push yourself to do things that is going to be the best thing for you. So it's tough.
Absolutely, yeah. I see where you're going with that. I agree with you without a doubt. And, before we, what I was going to say when you were talking about that being a lifestyle change is I don't know how many people saw this, and if no one really did, I don't want to stay on it too long. But last night, I don't know if it was a rerun or what, but it was made, sometime recently. It was on CNN two nights ago. That was about the healthcare in America. And it wasn't, politicized as far as, Obamacare, is it good or is it bad? It was just what has happened in healthcare in the last, 15 to 20 years in this country, and it was just about how the health in general. So there's a lot of shocking things going on about the healthcare system and how a lot of it is a business, of course, and geared towards money and drug companies and stuff like that, and how they push drugs through just to start making money, and they'll hide stuff from tests. But one of the things that ties into what we're talking about is the cultural change that you need to have happen, whether it's yourself, on a small level, or trying to get a group of people to just be healthier. We have so many people who are obese, overweight, and because of many different factors, whether it be technology has made us lazier, there's more fast food options than there ever was. And there's this one company, Safeway. I'm not completely familiar with them. If I'm not mistaken, it's a grocery-type store, I believe, in the Midwest. Anybody who knows, you can pop up in the chat. But anyway, they've created incentives. They decided that, saving money, being healthy didn't have to, be separate from each other. They can lower their health insurance costs while making their employees healthy. And so they created incentives. Number one, a lot of companies do this, which is if you're a non-smoker, they give you a break on your health care. But then there's other things as well. There's to encourage them to work out if they reach certain thresholds, if they were obese and they got under that, they save more money, and there's just tons of ways to save money. And this company stayed flat year over year, as far as all that's concerned, whereas
right.
other companies, their costs have skyrocketed. So it was amazing to see, people get motivated by it. Some people are money. Other people are, can just do it on their own. But, I thought that tied in pretty well if anybody else saw that. I thought it was a great documentary. If you see it on there again, check it out. It was just about the healthcare system. It was on CNN. I just happened to catch it. And whether it's this topic or any ones we have going forward, we do have a screener tonight. So for sure, call in. For those who want to talk on the line, you'll talk to Toku first. And he's a good dude to chat with for a little bit until we can get you on the air. And that number is 323-417-6705. We'll put it up in the chat. Please give us a call. We'll be happy to hear anything you have to talk about, but especially if it's something that we touch on in this show. So anyway, just wanted to talk about that CNN bit. Great documentary about healthcare and what motivates people to get healthy. So, you know, just like with you doing it, you've been able to do it without any real extra incentive, you know, outside of just how you feel, and you've been keeping it going. So good work, and everybody else out there, whatever motivates you, try to figure that out and get out there and do some good stuff.
Exactly. Speaking of good stuff, and I think Gerson would be interested in this. You know, he does the whole random acts of kindness thing. There was, I think it was last week. I was pumping gas, and this man in like this old beat up Jeep Cherokee was trying to push his car away from the gas pump. And you know, I get out and I'm kind of looking at him a little bit. I'm like, what is going on? So it's like, and you know, I didn't see the guy at all. I just saw feet and the car being pushed. And so I finally see the guy, and it's an older guy. He's probably in his 60s or late 60s. And so of course I put down my stuff and I go and I go behind him and I said, you know, do you need a push? He was like, yeah, my car, something's wrong with my battery. My car stalled, and you know, I need to get out of the way so I can get a tow truck. So I knew nothing of this man. I just knew that he looked like he needed help. So, you know, I helped this man move his car probably about 50, 75 feet away from the pump. And I offered if to call AAA or somebody to help him. And he said, no, I'm fine. So, you know, I said, well, you know, if you need any help, I'm going to pump my gas, you know, and I'll just make sure that you're okay. So I'm pumping gas, and he finally gets the car started. And it was just, It made me feel good knowing that I was able to, you know, at least look out for somebody, because that poor man was not going to be able to push that car, you know, and he tried so hard. But it's one of those things where I didn't think about it to be a good person. I just saw somebody who needed help, and I went and I helped him. I wasn't looking for any kind of gratitude, you know. I didn't give him my name, you know. Of course, I had my badge on, and I, you know, I had a sweater, so you really couldn't see, you know, where I worked. But, you know, it made me feel good, and I know I've done nice things before. I mean, I'm not an ass or anything, but, you know, it's amazing what you would do if you see somebody who's in need or somebody who looks like they need a hand up. I don't like saying hand out so much, but more like a hand up. So, you know, if you do it, if you see somebody who looks like they need a little bit of help, it doesn't hurt just to ask and you know, give them what you can, even if it's just to move the car out of the way. It definitely makes somebody else's life a little bit easier, and I think that's why we're all here.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's first I heard that story. That's a great story. And, you know, a lot of people, when they think of the whole pay it forward thing, it's got to involve, you know, money, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, paying someone's bill or donating or whatever. That's all well and good as well. But for people who are like, oh, well, I can't donate, I can't do the pay it forward kind of stuff, you know, then there's lots of stuff you can do. And that shows you right there. Just take a few minutes out of your day, help somebody out who's struggling. And it really does make you feel good. I know when I was doing some stuff for folks over the last few months, whether it was donating money or just doing something I normally wouldn't do to help somebody out, it does help, and it does feel good to do it for sure. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that are wrong with our society. We've talked about it. I know one thing that we were going to talk about last week was a documentary. I don't know if you saw it or if you just knew about it, but the one with Anderson Cooper. I know we've been wanting to talk about that. So, you know, I'm not quite familiar with it. I didn't see it. I know you know a little bit more about it, but I think that will tie in nicely to the whole, you know, acts of kindness type thing, because it had to do with bullying, correct?
Yes. So it's called Enough is Enough, Say No to Bullying, which is, it was produced by Anderson Cooper. It's a documentary called The Bullying Effect, which it kind of follows the story of a number of people a number of people with a filmmaker, I think his name is Lee Hirsch, I think I'm pronouncing that right. He introduces audience to a really awesome film called Bully, which came out in 2012. And apparently a bunch of celebrities have seen it and have been inspired. I know Britney Spears went to Twitter and she, you know, said that she was inspired to take a stand and support the cause. And, you know, I think it kind of begs the question, it's great that, you know, that celebrities and you know, people like Anderson Cooper who are out there who are trying to push this whole cause of ending bullying in school. Because, you know, I think we've talked about it before. It's not like it once was when, especially when I was going to school, you know, you didn't hear of, you know, kids committing suicide and stuff. It's gotten pretty bad. But, you know, I wonder if you have celebrities who are probably not affected at all by it, taking a stand both locally and supporting the cause, you know, what can teachers and mentors and parents do to help stop this tragic and unnecessary situation?
Yeah, you're right. And we've hit on this a few times about, well, part of it might be we are just more aware of when things happen because of the internet. You know, when we were growing up, especially, you know, our elementary, middle school days specifically, internet was not around or was in its very, very early infancy. The bullying, you know, besides the fact we didn't hear about it as much, the bullying stopped when you went home. You know, save for, I'm sure there's some prank calls and stuff like that, but that would run its course. Parents would get involved easier, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, with the internet, it's so easy to continue in. And we've talked about it a lot. I don't want to go into it too much. Everybody who's here, for the most part, has listened to our show before, and those who haven't are probably well aware that the internet makes it easier for bullies to continue, makes it harder on the bullied, and brings, when things do happen, such, unfortunately, a suicide or whatever, you know, something that happens, maybe a bullied person fights back at the bullies, and that makes its way to the internet. Someone makes a video about being bullied. You know, like there was one about a cheerleader that I saw. Like, she was a professional cheerleader for the Packers, and some like Bears fans made fun of her, or vice versa. I don't remember. And she made a video about it. So these things get reached out further, and then the cycle continues, regardless if that's for better or for worse.
Right.
And I'm sure it's a good documentary.
It's very good. But I wonder, you know, what can teachers do, and what can mentors, and you know, I think it really kind of stems from parents. You know, if it's just bullying in general, bullying, I think is kind of all encompassing. I don't think it really kind of points out the LGBT community per se. I think everybody gets bullied for just being
Absolutely.
Themselves or trying to be themselves or not really, they're not fitting in. You know, I know what it's like to not fit in, and I don't think that has any kind of weight on the fact that I was a gay guy. But you know, what can parents do to help educate their children or teach their children not to be such an asshole? You know?
I think that's the bigger thing. I think it's the kids who are just complete dickheads, you know, like, but then again, a lot of different kids are guilty of bullying, whether it's persistent or if it's just a fleeting moment where they were rude to somebody or they fell victim to wanting to fit in and other people are making fun of someone and they got a weak moment. So, I mean, it's impossible to stop it. It's been going on since well before our time and will continue, unfortunately. But, yeah, it starts with the parents for sure, just raising good people, but there's a limit to that. And just trying to be as involved in your kid's life as you can, letting them know that they are someone that they can trust, you know, and stuff like that. But as far as a teacher, there's not too much they can do, but try to be as present as possible in the classroom, you know, make sure they're seeing things as much, you know, I know they have tough jobs, but just try to make sure you're seeing what's going on around the room and everything. And, you know, of course, those other moments where the kids are, you know, if they're young enough to have recess or when they go to lunch or when they get older, study halls and things. Just trying to be, you know, they've got their own lives, they've got their own stuff to worry about, but just make sure they're keeping an open ear and keeping their eyes peeled for stuff that might be going on. I think people get too tied up in their own lives and they either choose to ignore or inadvertently ignore something that's, you know, clear as day if they just paid a little bit more attention. And there's no way to completely stop it, but, you know, just being a little bit more present, whether it's parents and adults in general, just being more aware.
Right. I mean, and so I remember hearing from a couple of different places that usually kids who bully other kids are being bullied themselves or have a really crappy upbringing. I mean, I don't know if I still really believe that. I think that it's a new breed of kids that's out there, and I don't think I don't feel like that's really the case. You know, I feel I think kids are mean. I think kids are mean if they find something or they see somebody who's different, or somebody that's not quite them, that, you know, some kids can just be outright mean and, you know, just kind of pick on them for whatever differences that is. I'm not going to say it's a flaw or a problem, you know, whatever it is that makes that person different from the other person. I think that people use differences to their advantage. I think they use it in malice, you know?
It's easy to not just internet,
I'm sorry?
Can I say something quick?
Sure.
You guys are talking about bullying. Well, I've been bullied pretty much all my life. I mean, when you're born with congenital cataracts and have to have both your lenses and your eyes removed at less than 6 weeks of age, you kind of have to wear these thick-ass goggle glasses every single day of your life.
Yeah.
Trust me, I do. And you can imagine right away what happens when you get those glasses in a school.
Absolutely.
I was a freaking magnet for bullies. I was a freaking magnet for people that wanted to down-talk me. Yeah, I was a nerd as a kid. I still am. I say it proudly because, quite honestly, the nerds shall inherit the world. But getting off that, the fact is, along with my glasses and my geeky persona, it was my size. There was just so much I was bullied about as a kid. And, you know, today, I honestly don't know if I would be the same person if I hadn't been picked on and bullied. You know, I don't think I'd be the cool Toku that you all know and love. And, you know, I don't think I'd be the person I am today. I'm sorry for wanting to interject, but I had to put that in there.
I appreciate that you did. I mean, it means a lot. And, you know, I know what it's like to be bullied as well. I was bullied all my life as well. Just for being, you know, I didn't fit in with the boys and I didn't fit in with the girls. I was just different. But you're right. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily say that I wouldn't change anything, but, you know, I learned that I'm a bigger person than that. And I grew a sense of self really, really quickly. I had to figure out who I was, and I needed to make sure that nobody else was going to break me down and make me think anything less than what I thought of myself. And there were days where it was really, really hard. So I completely understand where you're coming from. And my day job, I actually work in an ophthalmologist's office, and I'm pretty sure the majority of you guys know. So I work in an eye doctor's office, and I know what it's like for to see, you know, kids in these really, really thick glasses. So, I mean, I feel you, buddy. I feel you.
He makes a good point, though. You know, I'm sure, obviously, no one wants to be bullied or picked on, but maybe it develops you into the person that you were, whereas people sometimes that weren't bullied or were the popular ones or whatever, you know, they kind of live, not always, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but they might live a charmed life, and they might not develop into the well-adjusted person that other people do. It's not terrible to sometimes get a reality check. Now, bullying doesn't have to be that way, but sometimes it's good to come back down to earth and realize that, you know, you're not perfect either. Now, bullying is, I'm not condoning it at all, but I get the point he's making. You know, there's ways to come to those realizations sometimes that aren't always the best. And sometimes you deserve, like for me, I know there's times in my life where I was just being a jerk to people, not necessarily a bully, but just wasn't doing good things, and they called me out on it. And it doesn't feel good. But it makes you, it's good to have people, friends like that, who will call you out on something, not bully you for something that's out of your control, to kind of you know, let you know who you should be and things like that. It's interesting to think about the way you are molded as a person based on your experiences, but I don't know, it's an interesting topic for sure. I know we've talked about bullying before, but Toku makes a good point that he's proud of, as well as he should be, proud of who he is now, and he might not be that same way if he hadn't gone through what he did. But
absolutely, I completely agree. And, you know,
yeah.
Even Eyeshine Fan in a chat room said that she was picked on because she was physically challenged. You know, everybody has at least one thing that somebody is able to pick out and use against you. And 9 times out of 10, it's what you're already self-aware about, and it's already something that you're
absolutely
conscious about. You know, and it's interesting how they're able to pick that out. And usually, and I'm pretty sure, physical challenges, it's different. But, you know, for the stuff that's not visible, the inside stuff, the way you feel and the way that that kind of stuff, that's, you know, you try to protect that. You put this armor around that so much. I think that maybe it's so heavily protected that it's almost obvious to people.
That this
is something that you're concerned with. This is something that you're really working through. And I think that, you know, kids are able to pick that out. If they don't like you, they don't like you. They just need one reason to start it, you know? So.
And a lot of times that thing that you wrap around, like you were just saying, and, oh, I'm, you know, it might just be mental. You know, you think that you're making it obvious to other people. I mean, you might not be. And then people say one little thing and you twist it to fit, you know, your idea. Oh, they must be making fun of that thing that I'm super self-conscious about. So,
right.
And that doesn't change as an adult, unfortunately. You know, those the internet movement out there, it gets better. Well, yeah, that is true. Things do get better as you get older. People become nicer in some aspects. But there are still bullies out there. There still are bad people out there. There still are people that are purposefully or not intending to are going to hit on things that you're subconscious about. That stuff's never going to end. You just have to, try to be the strongest person you can and get through it. And I'm making it sound easier than it is, of course, and I'm by no means well-adjusted as I have entered my 30th year. I still have plenty of insecurities and problems, so I'm not trying to brush it off by any means. But so, you know, and another thing is, a good thing to do, there's different kinds of bullies as you get older. For instance, people who are against gay marriage or people who are against certain political beliefs, whether it's a hardcore liberal or a hardcore conservative, it comes from both sides. People discriminate or say horrible things to people who are different to them. It's a different type of bullying. We don't call it that, but it still is. And the best thing to do is stand up for it. It's good for celebrities to stand up for it because, like you said, Britney Spears, Anderson Cooper, people try to put it out there. And even someone who has such an annoying poppy catch song as Carly Rae Jepsen will stand up for stuff. And as you were aware, she was going to do a performance of some sort for, like, the Boy Scouts of America, you know, their association. She dropped out of it because of their stance on equality or lack of a stance, I guess. Now they have discriminated against gay scout leaders and things like that. Like, they just assume these gay scout leaders are going to, you know, be child molesters, which is ridiculous. It's good for people. That's how you stand up to bullies. You have to have, you know, when you see something not right, you say something. It's always refreshing to see celebrities do it. Even if it seems like to you and me, it's like the obvious thing that everybody should be doing. But it isn't, because there's people out there who don't know how they feel or do feel one way. If one person can stand up and make a change like that, maybe it'll change other people's minds as well and start that cycle.
Exactly.
Some people just don't have the balls to make the decision to defend another person. You know, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's the truth. You know, some people just don't have the balls to stand up and say, you know, you just fucked up. You need to start treating others with respect and not be a dick.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
I agree. And, you know, on the Carly Rae Jepsen thing, I don't like that song. I'm not going to sing it. Everybody knows the song. It's the Call Me Maybe. we don't need to get into that. But, you know, she wasn't anybody that I really kind of put any kind of effort into, just because it's a catchy song. It reminds me of every, you know, one-hit wonder 90s pop song that I've heard. But it's my opinion of her has changed a little bit because she didn't have to do that. You know, she didn't have to have to say anything. I mean, she went to her Twitter page, and she pulled out of the event by saying, quote, as an artist who believes in equality for all people, she's not doing it. You know, she says, I always have and will continue to support the LGBT community on a global level and stay informed on the ever-changing landscape and the ongoing battle for gay rights in this country and across the globe. I mean, come on, you have to respect a girl who, I mean, the majority of her fans are gay. I know that. But, you know, for her to make such a stance at such a very green stage in her career, I mean, that says a lot. You know, I have a little bit more respect for her than I did once before. So
I agree. You know, the song's catchy. It is what it is. I don't know anything else by her. I'm not a fan of hers, but you definitely gain respect because, especially someone like that, I'm sure she's made some pretty good bank off that song, but this isn't like the old days where, you know, music, and by old days, I mean like 10 years ago. But right. It's not like then when, if you really liked a single, there was, even though, yeah, Napster and stuff was probably about 10 years ago now, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you liked one song, you pretty much had to go buy that full album for the majority of our childhood, and that was, sometimes that's great, and sometimes that was terrible because you'd buy an album for one song or something else good on there. My point being, she's not making as much money as she would have if she'd come out with that song years ago. So it's not like, you know, you could fault her for doing an event and wanting to keep the money. No one would have said anything, I'm sure, if she did this event. Like, oh, that's great, she's doing something for the kid. I probably wouldn't even made the connection, even though I'm aware of their stance. I probably wouldn't even have thought of it. I probably wouldn't even known she had done the performance. So she could have been excused by a lot of people for just going to this thing, taking the money, and walking away. But
exactly.
she stood up for something she believed in, and it just happens to be something that I believe in too. So, you know, even more apt to back her on that. So, you know, good for her. And like you said, I got more respect for her for doing it. It's not going to make me go run out and buy her album or anything like that, but I won't be, might not be so quick to make fun of somebody for listening to it because of that. You know, it's something that's very admirable.
Right.
You know, she likes her music. Her fans like her music. That's good, to each their own. That, which is kind of what we've been saying here. Be hypocritical to bash somebody for liking it. Hey, do your thing. Be happy. And
right.
She stood up for something good, and you got to respect
it. I knew that she was a gay advocate because if you guys have not seen her music video, Call Me Maybe. If you just put the video on mute, if you just watch the video and don't listen to the song if you guys don't like it, it's really, really interesting. It's actually a cute video. It really is. And at the end, it's blatantly obvious that she supports equality. So I recommend that you guys check it out because I wasn't expecting it. It was actually kind of fun. So I'm not advocating that you guys go and buy her album, but you know, the video I thought was really cute anyway. So I'm gonna leave that on that note.
while we were chatting, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Mr. Burson made a pretty funny joke. He said, "Oh, there's the Britney Spears reference. It's mandatory every show." Of course, making a little joke at your expense, just because you're a huge Britney fan and proud of it.
I saw that bastard.
You did see it, so. You probably saw my response, which is there's two things, there's many things that you love, but when it comes to celebrities, Britney is your be-all, end-all, but there is one from a little bit earlier on, the Pink Ranger, always seems to come up in our show. It doesn't hurt, of course, that we've got Karen Ashley, who is after us, who used to be one of the Power Rangers. Their show is coming up at 9, so be sure to stay on for that, for Guilty Pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's how you plug something, boom. But anyway... So it's easy for Power Rangers to come up, especially a show that was popular when we were growing up. So I saw something today in the news. I immediately had to tweet it and tag you in it because I knew you'd be interested. It's not the Pink Ranger, but the one after the Pink Ranger was up in the news today. She is apparently dating Seal. So I figured you'd probably have some form of opinion on this, and I knew we had to include it in the show.
Yes. So the Pink Time for the Pink Time Force Power Ranger, Erin Cahill, revealed that she is, who's 33, there's kind of rumors going around, according to the Huffington Post, that they were dating about a year after Seal got divorced from the really, really hot and beautiful Heidi Klum. But, you know, it's kind of been confirmed that Seal, who sang that song, Kiss from a Rose, and does a lot of really, really pretty pretty songs, is actually dating Erin Cahill, or you guys know her as Jen from the Pink, the Pink Time Force Power Ranger. I think that's kind of awesome. It really kind of puts Power Rangers back in the light again, you know. And Erin Cahill's absolutely beautiful. She's really, really pretty. She kind of had a pretty decent career afterwards. I know that right now she does the Bank of America commercials. She's on a couple of Bank of America commercials. But, yeah, so I thought that was really – I was shocked. I was like, there's no way. And I was at work, and I was really busy at work, so I was racking my brain. Who could still be dating? Which Pink Power Ranger could still be dating? Amy Jo Johnson's already married, and I know that Catherine Sutherland's already married, and I know that – so I was kind of going through my head, who is it? Which Pink Power Ranger? When I finally came home, that was the first thing that I did. I logged on, and I was like, that's who she's dating. Or that's who she's dating. So congratulations to them. I hope that it works out. But I think this is going to be a pretty big thing in the Power Ranger universe, and I'm pretty sure that you guys are just as shocked as I was.
For those of you out there who are in my shoes, which is not knowing who Erin Cahill was, I did watch Power Rangers as a young lad, but only, I believe, like the first, maybe second season, then kind of it run its course with me. But for those who didn't know, I researched it because I figured this was going to come up and I want to know who this girl was. You may know her better from her later work. I certainly recognized her after seeing the photo of her. She played Ted Mosby's sister on How I Met Your Mother, a show
that I
do enjoy. Yep, she was on there for an episode at least, maybe two or three. She played Heather Mosby, again, his sister. You may also know her, for those of you gamers out there, she is the lead female character in Call of Duty. The character's name is Chloe Lynch, or Karma, in Call of Duty Black Ops 2 specifically. So you may know her voice at least from that. She was also on a show I didn't watch, but apparently she was on a show called Saving Grace. She was also played someone named Felicity in Red Widow on ABC. So a few things you may know her from. I knew her from How I Met Your Mother, and a little jealous of Seal now. She's a good-looking lady. No, in all seriousness, I knew that was something we had to bring up, even though I didn't know her until I researched it. I knew the Power Ranger tie-in for the Uncensored Family was going to be something we needed to go into. And Chris Person confirms with the Google search that, yes, we are okay with her, so that is good. Now, we've been talking a lot tonight about, actually, it's kind of had a running theme, unintended, but, you know, we talked about bullying and the documentary and Carly Rae Jepsen, how that tied in, and the Power Ranger, not so much, but a big tie into your childhood, which we've touched on many aspects of you growing up. I think it's time to, you know, continue with our audience reactions. I think you told me a topic just before we went on the air, so I didn't really have much time to prepare for this, but you mentioned something. We try to bring up a social issue that gets people talking for many reasons. It's interesting. It invites you all to participate. Please type in once we start going on this topic, as you always do, or call us at the guest call-in, 323-417-6705. But this is an interesting topic that you mentioned, and I was excited to hear it because this is something we deal with every single day. And I think it's interesting how different people respond. And it's popped up over the Internet a lot lately, especially when it comes to restaurants. But I'll let you introduce it. I just wanted to preface it a little bit. But I think it's going to be a really cool topic for us to talk about. I'm interested to see what everybody has to say.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one, too. I know that everybody has everybody goes to fast food places. Everybody goes to places like Moe's or I don't think they do it at Starbucks. I know they don't do it at Starbucks. But places where you're not really getting served, quote-unquote, how they have a little section for you to leave a tip, or you have a tip jar. So prime example, I went to it's like a Tex-Mex place called Moe's. They serve a lot of like Mexican style food, and it's essentially like an assembly line. You go there, you tell them what you want, and they warm up your tortilla, and they throw all of your food on there, and they wrap it up, and they give you chips, and they say, all right, with a soda, it's $9, and you give them your credit card, and when it comes back, there's actually a little section for them for you to leave a tip. I find it really, really hard for me to want to leave a tip when you're doing your job, but nonetheless, I feel almost guilted to, I feel like I have to leave a tip. So, you know, I leave something kind of tall, something, you know, nothing big. It's just, you know, it's not definitely not 15% because you're not waiting on me, but you're not, you know, refilling my drinks. You're not, you know, you're not doing that kind of stuff. You're just doing your job. And I want to find out from everybody what your thoughts are. What are your thoughts are on tipping for a not so service? Christian, what are your thoughts?
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for a second, but I do know exactly what you're talking about for Moe's Southwest Grill, which I thought was like everywhere, but apparently it's not. A few people in the chat don't seem to know about it, but you know, just it's like a Chipotle for those who have that. It's a Subway as well, but it's, you know, it's for like burritos and tacos. So same concept. If you think of a Subway or a Quiznos, putting the tip down there. Now, to play devil's advocate though. When you go to a restaurant, I'm not down talking anyone's profession here, but yes, the waitress comes out and they wait on you, quote unquote, hand and foot by, you know, bringing your food, taking your order. They're doing hard work. What's to say these people at Moe's or Subway aren't either? They're doing work. They're working hard, ostensibly, and they are actually physically making the food in front of you. So they're no different than, well, that I was going to say no different than a chef, but they are because they're not cooking it, whereas a chef does, of course.
Right.
But they're still working hard. So do they deserve a tip? I don't know, but I'm with you. That initial feeling of seeing a tip at Moe's or a Subway, you're kind of like, wait, really? Like, isn't this kind of like a fast food restaurant?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a step above a McDonald's because at McDonald's, the person taking your order doesn't actually put the food together. Someone behind the scenes does, kind of like a restaurant. You're not expected
right.
to tip there. And then Moe's will have like a little tip jar out too, just like Starbucks does too. They have a little tip jar. It's like not expected, but they say, hey, if you want to, leave a tip.
Right.
And then that leads to other professions as well. People like movers. You know, do movers get tips? Some do, some don't. Who's expected to get it? Who's not? When I used to work in the cell phone industry, a very, 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 very small percentage of people would try to tip me, which wasn't allowed because it just we had a commission and a salary and all that kind of stuff.
You're doing your job.
And I was just doing my job, right? I never expected it, so it was always odd when someone tried to. Again, few and far between, but it did happen. So what professions are you shocked by that have it? Which ones do you think shouldn't? You know, I know, again, it's been on the internet a lot, again, because things can get picked up so quickly, where people wouldn't tip waitresses for different reasons, whether it was the reverend a few, like a month ago, who was like, oh, I give God 100%. How can I give you 20 or whatever ridiculous thing that reverend came up with.
I saw that.
There's people who say they never tip, and then people fighting back saying, you should, if you don't tip, you shouldn't go out to eat. Is that true? You know, I think it opens up the door for a lot of stuff. So let's see what some people are saying. Burson in the chat says he doesn't tip like Moe's and then stuff like that unless it's above and beyond service, which I think is completely
speaking
acceptable.
Speaking of Burson, guys.
Yes.
Speaking of Burson, and he's here.
Hey,
oh,
Chris, what's going on, buddy?
I'll let you talk
to yourself.
Hello.
So what are your thoughts?
Well, I've worked in the restaurant industry. When I started off, I was 16 working fast food. So I've been in fast food. I've been in serving environments. I've been in bartending environments. So I've had the pleasure of working in both. And the way I look at it is, and I know Christian brought up the point of, well, yeah, they're serving you, but they're making more than minimum wage or maybe minimum wage. They're not making less than. That person who's a server that's bringing you all your food is making less than minimum wage. So they rely on their tips to make up for and get back to minimum wage or surpass that. So looking at it as a restaurant, when I sit down, yeah, of course I'm going to tip, and I'm going to tip very well for very well service. But when it comes to a fast food restaurant or kind of a serve-yourself restaurant, I'm not going to tip unless it's something completely above and beyond me just making an order and them making it.
Absolutely.
Do you ever feel guilted, though? Like, because I agree with you on the face value, but then when you go in there and the cashier is looking at you, he's saying, here's your total, and hands you a receipt with a tip on there. Do you ever feel guilted? Like, I should probably just put a couple bucks on there. Because that's what ends up happening to me. I go to Moe's, and there's a restaurant in Charleston, a barbecue place, where they do the same thing. They put together your plate in front of you. It's not that much different. And there's a little tip screen, and you don't know what they're making. I'm going to assume they're like Moe's, where they're making at least minimal wage, so they don't depend on tips. They might not even get those tips. That might just go to the restaurant's bottom line. You don't really know.
That was the thing I was going to bring up, was you don't know where that tip's going, at least if I give the server cash.
Especially when it's credit card.
Yeah. If it's a credit card tip, it has to go to the restaurant. And then the server would claim that and pay taxes, and the bar or the restaurant would actually send that out to that server. But when it comes to a restaurant or a fast food place, I don't necessarily know where that's going to go.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. But still, even with that receipt just sitting there, and there's somebody behind you who's probably paying no attention to you whatsoever. But I always just feel guilted, or like the social pressure is like, well, I better put something down. What if they expect me to? I don't know. I just get guilted into it. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I end up throwing a buck or two on there.
I do every once in a while.
Because I just feel like I have to. Yeah.
I do every once in a while. Like at Starbucks, I go, there's a Starbucks right by my office. It's literally like right around the corner from where I work. I go in there all the time, and it got to the point where they seriously know me by face. They're like, oh, hey, Topher, do you want a vintage skinny caramel macchiato? Yes. You know, so them remembering me and knowing what I want, I mean, you're definitely going to get a tip. I'm definitely going to give you, you know, something, especially for the barista. You know, people who cut my hair, absolutely. People who do a service for you, absolutely. I know there's a
Your
grocery store.
Your internet radio host, they should get tips.
I agree. I think we should get tips. Where should we put our jar?
I agree.
That's what I want to know.
Here we are providing you with free entertainment, and, you know, maybe we could throw a little tip jar out. No, but
not,
in seriousness, brings up a great point about you don't know where that money's going, and the restaurant industry, I mean, that's just how it's built, so it makes sense. You got to tip. If you're not going to tip at a restaurant, now granted, if the service is terrible, that's one thing, but assuming everything is at least normal, if not above and beyond, those waitresses and sometimes people like busboys and things like that behind the scenes, they rely on those tips because they're not making a full wage on their own, and that's just accepted. But like you said, I didn't really think about this. The people in the fast food, they're at least making the minimum wage, if not a little bit more, or a lot more for that matter. Now, even with that, though, we've talked about paying it forward and doing nice things and yada, yada, yada. Doesn't that kind of fall into that category? I'm not saying you have to do it every time, but, you know, especially if someone's doing their job and they've got a smile on their face at a job maybe you would not prefer to be doing. Again, I'm not talking down to it, but you might not want to be behind the line making people burritos and stuff. But someone's got a smile on their face, they enjoy their job, you know, giving them a tip would feel good, of course.
There's definitely random acts of kindness where you can do something like that. But when it's insisted upon, you know,
yeah,
you know, when it's written on the receipt where you almost feel obligated to give a tip, then I think, I don't know, it's more difficult for me to do that. I'd like for somebody to, you know, do their job and then do it well. And, you know, if a tip comes from it, then you know, that's great. I know there's a grocery store locally called Publix where, you know, the people who bag your food will walk it out to you, bring it to your car, and they do not allow tips at all. You know, you can't give them any tips, and they actually have to refuse it, otherwise they lose their job. You know, I think bagging somebody's groceries is one thing, and, you know, I was a bagger when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, and, you know, it takes a lot of work to leave where you are to go help, you know, somebody put their groceries in their car. So I think that people like that should get a tip because they're going above and beyond their job duty, you know. And I think that falls right along with what Chris Burson was saying.
I saw at one of the grocery stores, I don't think it was Publix, but same thing where they all kind of do that here in Charleston. I don't remember people doing that back home in Connecticut, but I think it's something, you know, one of those Southern manners kind of things perhaps, or maybe it's just something that's caught in here because one place did it and it's grown. But anyway, one of the grocery stores down here actually had a sign at every single register that said, it's our pleasure to help you bring your groceries to your car. Tips are not allowed. So like, they let you know up front, like, this is part of the service. Don't refuse it because you can't afford a tip that you think you have to give, or you know, don't feel obligated to do it. You know, if you need help, this is a service that we're providing. You don't have to pay extra. I think that's cool when places outright will say it. It takes away any of the awkwardness of, oh, should I? Shouldn't I? Was I supposed to? You know, I don't really have a lot of money for this service, but I do need the help or would like the help. It's kind of cool when businesses will do that as well. Right. It just takes the confusion out of it, you know. You almost wish that businesses that expected tips would say, like, this is a business where, just to take that away, because so many businesses now blur the lines, whether it's the Moe's or a Subway or moving companies, again, where some expect tips, others don't allow it. You know, and you go to places like Disney World and stuff, and they have like the little people that'll bus you. They have like a little like a limousine golf cart, basically, where there's like golf cart attached to golf cart attached to golf cart. That'll bring you from your faraway parking spot to the front gate. Do you tip those people? I see some people do that. Same with ballparks. There's people at stadiums who do the same kind of thing, and concerts too. You know, you don't really know what to do, so. I know. I think people brought up some good points. I like the idea of, yeah, you're right. You don't know where that money's going if it's not a restaurant, like a sit-down restaurant. You don't know who's really getting that money. It might just be a corporate ploy. Like, yeah, if cash comes in, you kids can have it here at the front counter. But if it's a credit card, well, the company keeps it. It's just a way for us to get some extra money out of people. Right. And if it's not, right, do they really deserve that tip? I don't know. I thought that was a good conversation. I was excited to see what people said, and I thought they came up with some good stuff. And yeah, as always, this hour has just flown by.
It has. So quick side note on that before we wrap up.
Yes.
What about when you're at a place where a tip is warranted and you get poor service? Do you still tip? Do you tip less than what you normally would? Or do you not tip at all?
I think it depends on how terrible it is. I mean, if we're talking like really bad, like rude, yeah, there's exceptions where someone absolutely does not deserve a tip. I know Burson just screamed out, always tip. But what if a waitress comes out and slaps you in the face? I mean, obviously you're not going to tip for that. But, you know, we had a bad experience with our server we mentioned at the top of the show. With a server, we all went out to dinner, and she was not very good. And everybody at the table tipped, but did not tip that well. I know a couple people at the table did the bare minimum, you know, which I think most people think minimum is like 15%. I mean, that varies by person and by location. Some people tip less than that at our table, I think, and we don't have much time to get into what she did wrong. But, yeah, I think you have to do the best you can as far as give them something, unless it's just, like, obscenely awful service, like just horrible. They weren't even trying. They were completely rude to you, but if it's bad, yeah, they deserve to have a little knockdown. How else are they going to pick up their game and do better now?
Exactly. I agree. Now, I get my hair cut probably once every 3 weeks. If you get a bad haircut, do you still tip? Yeah, I think,
that's
you know,
true.
If I've explained to you what I wanted and you do what I wanted you to do and I don't like it, does that mean that I should tip you, even though you gave me a crappy-ass haircut? Or do I
Absolutely.
Say, hey, if you knew that this was not going to look right, why didn't you say something and talk me into maybe doing something else?
No. I don't think it's their job to talk you out of a hairdo because their personal preferences could be different from yours. So they might think a mohawk looks stupid, but maybe you and your group of friends or whatever think it's awesome. And that's your prerogative.
Right.
You can like whatever you want. But they might, you know, ask you some questions maybe if you seem confused. But if you tell them to do it and they do exactly what you said to the T and you just don't like it, that's your own fault. You need to get a tip. It's okay for
right.
you to be like, I kind of want it this short. I'm not too sure. And they give you some advice. But if you're like, give me this, that's what they do.
Yep.
That's on you, not on them. So
I agree. All right, guys, coming up in just a couple of seconds, we have your guilty pleasure. That is Uncensored Radio. You can listen to them Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to us always on Tuesdays at 8. We have Jake Pentland on Saturday at 4 and the AMC Press every weekday at 11. Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a great night. Love you guys.
Have a great night, y'all. And be sure to follow us on Twitter as well at No Rules, Just Mike.
Yeah, baby. It's that time. Cue the music, Jamesy. It's that time. Cue the music, baby.
Jeff. Are you ready for this one?
U-C-R.
Go.
We saying what we want. Give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime. Not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. You know we are your guiltiest pleasure. It is such a pleasure to be on tonight. I am very excited. It's, you know, a great day to chat, great day to talk, great day to gossip, and I'm one of the hosts, Karen Ashley, along with my dynamic duo, Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm good, girl. I'm so good.
Are you? I'm so good today, too. And Miss Katrina Johnson is actually on vacation tonight. She's got a lot of things going on. And so we miss you, Katrina, but she will be back with us very soon. So how is Jeffrey Emmett doing after the Dallas episode? I don't even know how. I lose, like, my train of thought. I lose my words because we had to bury J.R. last night. Oh, it was like the most, I don't even know, like, so what is your consensus? Because if you haven't listened to the show before, Jeffrey and I are obsessed with Dallas, we love the show, and we buried JR last night. Like, this is a family member to us.
It really is, it's horrible.
It really is, right? It was horrible. It wasn't horrible, the show. The show was fantastic. But saying goodbye and knowing that he really, you know, he's really not coming back, that was difficult.
Well,
so
you know what's funny? I was watching it with my mom, and I just had this weird thing. And I looked over, and I was like, wouldn't it be a hoot if he didn't really die in real life and this was all a gimmick? I'm like, could you imagine?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Like, I think we'd all fall out on the ground. Like, it would be like Andy Kaufman coming back from the dead. Because didn't he fake his death, supposedly?
So many.
Like, he should be reappearing. Yeah, he should be. And then there's so many, like, people who supposedly faked their death. I mean, Tupac, Biggie, Andy Kaufman, Marilyn Monroe, you know, JFK, Elvis. You know Elvis is alive. And JR, so what did you think? Because it was very, I thought it was a very understated, sentimental, but they were able to kind of create moments for each character.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I kind of watched it and was like, oh dear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, I thought, you know, at first, like, watching it, I was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a little lackluster. I would have liked to have seen clips from the previous incarnation, you know?
Right. It was
but
a little fun movie at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, like, I did like, you know, we're watching the opening and it's slower and, like, the sax or whatever is louder. Not the sax, but, like, the trumpet or whatever, you know, like, they would play
a
funeral.
Oh, I know. That was really the Dallas theme song, the slow version.
Yeah, and then, like, they had just a few things.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I don't know, they would have done a photo montage or something.
Well, I did like that they ended with him. Like, they ended with him kind of, it was just him, You know, it was almost like they stripped away all the other characters and they stripped away the whole Dallas. And it was just, you know, it was just JR.
I did like the ending. You know, because I was waiting for Bobby, like, that got me. And I did cry, like, when they were doing the funeral and Sue Ellen was there and she read the letter.
Yeah.
And she was like, you were the love of my life. Like, it got me. I was bawling my ass off. You know, so I did think it was good, you know, and at the end I was like, okay, no, I appreciate this a little more. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Like, I liked the way they ended it. I liked the way they, you know, like, it's his greatest thing. It's his, what the hell was it called?
Right.
It's his masterpiece or whatever,
his,
you know. So I did end
up
in the end liking it more.
Right, right. Yeah, I kind of felt like, I felt in the beginning it was a little slow, and I just was kind of like, I wanted more reaction, you know. And then I was like, kind of like, Bobby, you're not even going to, Bobby was almost like, oh, it's, you know, back to business, you know. And I was like, come on, Bobby, come on. But when he gave his speech and he was like, you know, how he'd always been the good son, because JR was always so bad, you know. And now he's like, now I have to figure out what to do with myself. And I was just like, oh, like, you know, because Bobby could, you know, get bad now. Like, he could be JR, or, you know, maybe they continue how they're setting it up,
right,
where, you know, obviously John Ross is JR Jr. for sure. Uh-oh. We got somebody on the line. Who is it? Are they calling in to chime in about Dallas? Who is this?
They are, and it's my cousin Jeannie.
Oh, cousin Jean, hi.
Hi there. I actually live in Dallas. Well, right outside of Dallas.
I'm from Dallas.
And,
hey.
Well, we moved here right after the season, right after the end of the first season.
Okay.
And so with touring South Fork and getting to go and seeing, you know, the season two, we got to actually see an episode where they were actually on the property.
Uh-huh.
But
nice.
they only really do the recording, like, on the outside when they're doing outside scenes.
Right.
And so it was pretty cool. It was pretty neat to be able to kind of see. You couldn't really get too close, but you could see from a distance. It was really neat. And I remember I was there last week, and we were talking about this, you know, JR's funeral and all that, and there were some things that they couldn't breach. They said that they wanted to get more sentimental with it and go a little bit deeper and more dramatic, but that there were some things they couldn't do because of possibly offending families and things like that. And so she kind of led me to believe it wasn't going to be this big boom whenever I saw it.
Right, right.
I just wanted to kind of chime in and say, you know, I've seen just about every episode from the past. I've gone through and we caught up on it and kind of watched. And this, you know, unfortunately.
Oh, you are dedicated.
I have no idea.
She's like a, you need to call in every Tuesday because we do the Dallas recap.
Yeah, that's so exciting. But if you go back to the history and some of the characters that actually popped up for the funeral, unfortunately his death was horrible. But the character, I mean, this is who shot JR. It's a whole new epidemic. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be huge. And here in Texas, it's huge. I mean, there's billboards everywhere, signs everywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Josh is gorgeous, but he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah.
But it's quite exciting.
That's the only thing I didn't like about this last night's episode is that they didn't kick off the Who Shot JR. Like, I wanted it to go right into, you know, conspiracy, and they kind of were like, you know, I could see how they were going to build up to that in later episodes, but I was like, I wasn't liking the whole, like, oh, he was robbed and he was mugged in Mexico, and I was just
I thought they brought it towards the end, like, everybody knew that wasn't it. Yeah, like, totally, I thought by the end of it, they were like, we're going to get this son of a bitch, and it's got something to do with Rylan.
The preview was kind of like, you know, that alluded to that, but the episode, it was kind of like, immediately.
And if you go back to the dealings that, you know, he had with the cartel, I mean, a lot of that stuff was you sold your soul back then. And so a lot of, I'm feeling like it's going to somehow tie into the cartel. And, I mean, there's all this heat between,
Karen?
And it's just like, it's crazy because with his daughter and now right? Mm-hmm. And with, you know, his daughter getting involved with John Ross.
John Ross.
That's
yeah.
going to be huge on its own. That was out
yeah.
of the blue.
Out of the blue, like, she came up, and then all of a sudden that little, because you know how up until this point she's been, like, an innocent little victim.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
she came up and gave him, like, the Mac Mama look and was like, yeah, baby. And like, they were in the car rolling around.
She's such a hussy. I kept telling my mother, they're going to sleep together. They're going to bomb. And she's like, no way, no way. And then I'm like, bitch, I told you.
Oh, because she yeah. was, like, turned to, like, a prostitute. Like, she gave him that look, and he was like, oh, you
well,
want
when
me
he was
like, she kind of gave her the look back.
When she walks up and says, you know, he's like, are you high? I assumed she was going to pull out the pill bottle or something. And then she's like, no, you're low. And, you know, starts taking her shirt off and goes to the car. And I was just shocked. I didn't expect that at all.
Okay, so this is my thought. Why was she looking so guilty? What do you think, why she was looking so guilty in the kitchen? Remember when the police came, the Mexican police, and they were like, oh, this and that.
Because she's got something to do with it.
Yeah,
she's
I'm convinced of it, too. Yeah, she's like the inside person for the whole thing. And the scene in the out in the yard with the dad, you know, in the beginning of the episode, all that. I think it's all set up because he needed somebody inside.
Wow. Oh,
okay, wait. Now, how did you feel about Bobby losing his mind on, I can't even remember her name now, because she's such, I don't know.
Oh,
I
love
it.
His wife.
Oh.
On
Ann? She had it coming.
Yeah,
and then, okay, I kind of felt, though, that was maybe a little out of character for him. And then her doing the whole crying, how can I make it better? How can I make it better? I was like, this bitch, they need to kill her off. I'm over it.
Well,
Pamela, come back.
She's, the problem with that is even though no matter what she does, no matter if they don't like it or not, they're going to keep her because she's one of the originals. And they don't have very many of them left. And they've got to somehow tie this back into the history of the original. So they'll keep her on.
Dallas?
She was.
The character, yeah, the character was absolutely from the original. The character
what?
Goes all the way back to the 80s.
Oh,
what you talking about, Willis?
It was a different, actress, right? It wasn't
yes,
her.
yes. Yeah, it
oh,
was
okay.
a different actress. But
so
she, I mean, right, it was a different person. But they need that character, otherwise, there's no way for this all to play out in the end. I mean, it obviously
right.
has to do with him and the daughter.
Right. I kind of felt like she deserved that. Like, I knew it was out of character for Bobby, but I felt like, okay, Bobby has not given us any emotion about JR dying. Like, he's kind of showed a little. So that, to me, was like, oh, Bobby's going to turn mean. Like, oh, I kind of, you know, he's going to kind of be, you know, the asshole because he doesn't know how to deal with his feelings, you know? And then to see him cry at the end, I was just like, oh, Bobby.
She's killing me because she's supposed to be the matriarch of the family at
right.
this point.
Right.
And I don't want to
so
see
bad.
A weak woman be the matriarch of the family. Like, I want to see a tough
well,
bitch who you know,
right.
I want to see, like,
well, something,
somebody
too,
that,
is the storyline says that 2007 is when her and Bobby got married. So
mm-hmm.
if that's the case, then and they're together all this time and she didn't tell him and this and that, like, they didn't lead us to believe that in the first two seasons. They kind of made it like,
right.
you know, they were forever friends and together and they knew everything about each other's lives. Why didn't Bobby
right.
know about that? You know, it was
right.
kind of, I kind of was confused right off the bat.
It
and
was
then
in the
back.
Newspaper? Right, it was like in the newspaper and like they talked about it. She obviously was married to Harris. Like, he's a rich man. You know that was a
right.
high profile situation. Their kid was kidnapped, you know?
Right,
so,
and Harris has been a problem for the Ewings for a long time.
Right, exactly.
That's not a new
wow.
thing. So I kind of thought, I was like, what is this all about? I was kind of confused for a second there, but, I mean, it does kind of play out. It gives him, he's going to go into that deep, dark thing. I mean, this whole rise for power, did
mm-hmm.
anybody vote for that?
Oh, heck no. I'm voting for,
yeah.
I actually am I want to see John Ross.
Like, oh, I know, right?
I love his little mean ass.
Well, the poster is all over town. All the posters all over town are vote for rise to power. So,
wow.
you know, when it's Bobby's in the lead. So, I mean, he's probably going to end up being written in as more of the controlling interest in the family. He owns
right.
South Fork.
Right.
You know, he has
I
want to
see him
in the company.
Be bad ass. Like, I want to see, because, I mean, Bobby was a little crazy back in the day.
Yeah, he was.
And I would really like to see him lose his shit on everybody and just go batshit and, like, dump this broad because I just can't handle her face. Like, I mean, I like her. Like, I loved her on Desperate Housewives. But this whole, like, daddy crying. This whole crying woman thing, I can't get down with it. And I love.
She used to be like Sue Ellen, who like Sue Ellen is like, she just lost JR, and she was like, I think I should still go talk to what's his face.
Right now, I never
really
liked Sue Ellen.
Want to know what the hell?
You didn't?
Why? Is he looking for Christopher's mother? What is that about? Like, why does he need to know? Like, I need to know, and I need to know now.
I think they're trying to tie him in somehow to a bloodline somewhere there, because he's not a genuine Ewing.
Right. So let me. Okay. So who is Christopher's mother? It's not Pamela, right? So I mean, who would this person be?
God, I can see her face. Yeah, okay, if you go on, this is going to sound kind of cheesy that I know this, but if you go on Facebook, like the Dallas, well, if you go on the Dallas Facebook, they have, like, the history, the Facebook goes all the way back to 1982, and it shows a clip of her, but I can't remember her name either. She was gone when he was, like, 7 years old, seven.
Mm-hmm. Was she the one who shot JR, the real pretty dark-haired, long-haired lady?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just mixing the whole story up.
I thought, I know, I get them all confused too, but I thought that the Barnes guy said that he had Barnes blood in him.
He did, no, well, he does not. He was married to Pamela. Remember
they
were married
to have a baby? I was like, are we going to find out he's really a Barnes somehow?
No. They were married, and they have the babies on the way and everything, and he, at one point, the Ewings, remember in the first episode, or the first season, where he wasn't a big part of the Ewing stuff. He was more on the barn side with Pamela and her family and their side of the business.
No, I don't remember that, but go ahead.
Yeah, me neither.
It's like you're like our Dallas dictionary.
Well, it's kind of weird. I work with the senior living community, and so we take routine trips there, and then I just kind of got into it. My mom came to visit, and we went, and then we spent 3 days watching old episodes from late 80s, it was crazy, it was fun, and it's interesting, and you can go and see clips of things going on while you're there, and
right.
Pretty cool.
You know what's funny to me is that they should be, like, at one point they were playing Dallas on SoapNet. I don't know if they're doing that right now, but they should, because it's like people like us would sit and watch all of those old 80s episodes just so that, you can figure it out, because a lot of the stuff, they're really staying true to the history. You know, I'd watch every episode. I'd watch it like, I mean, it would be like General Hospital. I'd just be like, this is what I do every day, is watch Dallas.
They need to, like, release it on demand on Netflix. Like, I would be so over that. Oh, my God.
Right. So whoever owns the rights to that, they're crazy. Like, they should be all over it. They should be like, okay, we're going to re-release it. Nick at Night. One of those channels would air it religiously. And I would think they would do it, because I know that SoapNet, at one time, I used to watch Dallas in the middle of the night. Like, it was part of, it was kind of like the cool thing to do.
Too.
You had nothing else to watch. Yeah.
They had
Dallas. We went and got them at the library.
Right. Oh,
we went to the library and got the VHS tape.
Dynasty, Knott's Landing, they had all of them, I think, on SoapNet at one point.
You do know that the other brother was the one that did the spinoff to Knott's Landing, the one that just came back to join up with Bobby.
Yes, and you know what's her name's coming? Valene's about to come back. They showed a clip of her.
Yeah. She's only doing, I think she signed on like an 8-week contract, is what they said when we were at the South Fork Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
she was supposed to come back for the first season, but she was pissed because they were only going to give her, like, an episode or two or whatever it was, so she wouldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
They're smart. These producers are smart because they've lost JR. Like, I mean, it's detrimental to the franchise to not have him, and so they're very smart by bringing back all these original people, because those of us who are watching it for the sentiment, and maybe we're not so tied to, like, Jesse Metcalf, and we don't really care. Like, I mean, I don't have any feelings for the newer cast the way that I have for the older cast, just because it's kind of like, they're kind of icing on the cake. And I felt like season one did a pretty good job of establishing John Ross and even maybe Jesse Metcalf, but the rest of them, I could care less whether they, you know, it's like you could put another girl could be Pamela, another girl could be Elena, like, I mean, it could be anybody, you know?
Right.
So it's just one of those things that's why I think the show has had some success is because they were smart enough to have, you know, Larry Hagman, have, have Sue Ellen, have all these people there, you know?
And well,
so
and
I'm
they really...
Yeah, go ahead.
They've really done really good because all the time that's passed, they have so much to play on. Like, anybody can come into the picture now and say, okay, I was with John Ross when he was 19, or I was with, you know, so they can pull from anywhere. And with all the potential that's out there right now, I mean, I really think it's going to go somewhere. Like I said, it's huge here in Texas. It's a big, big thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's billboards everywhere, every magazine. I mean, there's stuff everywhere around here, and it's like, huge. Everybody talks about it.
Yep.
It's a grocery store. It's
well,
like it was coming
the
back.
The thing that's scaring me, though, is the ratings have not been doing so hot this season.
Really?
Yeah, no, and they haven't even picked it up for next season yet. So that's kind of like a little concerning to me.
I can't.
Now,
I will protest.
Because they were saying that South Fork.
But go ahead.
Where? Oh, they were just saying when we were talking about it, they were saying that it's that the ratings have gone up since the actual character Larry Hagman died.
I tried looking up last week's episode or whatever, but I didn't see it. But
they
I know
really
like previous this season,
services.
It dropped over half of its audience from last season. Because last year they were probably averaging, I think, between 3 and 4 million, and they're only like at between 1 and 2 million now.
That's
which
still
sucks
kind of good though for a cable channel though, because. I don't know that
but
TNT
you have to
has
think,
anything
if you're
else.
Pulling these people out of retirement,
right.
It's a little costly.
No, they're not. They're cheap. Those people are cheap, let me tell you, because Valene was on, she was on Young and the Restless, and Young and the Restless notoriously paid, you know, it's like they've got so many freaking actors. I think they're all cheap, because where have they worked? The only two people they had to pay was Larry Hagman and you know, Bobby, what's his real name?
Patrick Duffy.
Like I think, and maybe Sue Ellen, but they. I think they probably are not very expensive. They're giving them a little decent contract, and you know, those people are probably so happy to be there. You know, to get.
Well,
some
I
work.
Know they pay. They do pay to use South Fork Ranch because it's privately owned.
Right,
it's the new owner, but they do pay for that, but. No, I mean, honestly, there are some moments.
They need to clean their pool. Could you let them know next time you're down there? I said I would like them to clean their pool.
No, you know what made me mad last night? Why was JR's room so, like, plain Jane?
Because it's not his room. It's not his original room. Bobby, don't you remember the very end of the last era? Bobby and him weren't good. He was kicked out of Ellensville.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything. He wasn't even living on South Fork. He moved back to South Fork. According to the storyline that they put on Facebook that you can read when you're at the South Fork, he was in, like, an old folks' home. And Bobby insisted that he come back. And they put him in the spare bedroom. But the master bedroom belongs to Bobby. It's still
but
the original way.
Like, that's even an ugly room. Like, they didn't decorate.
Yeah.
Like, they were supposed to be rich.
Right.
Like,
why is it so small? That big-ass house in a little room?
Yeah. Remember, South Fork used to be like a mansion. Like, it didn't have that mansion feel at all. That kitchen is horrible. They need to, like, somebody needs to go in and redecorate.
Well, and why is their foyer bigger than the living room? That's what I need to know.
Well, it is in the Real House. The Real House is set up like that, and they set it up that way in the 80s because they couldn't get the equipment around correctly. So they kind of set it up backwards. Like, when you drive to the house, you don't see the front of the house. You see the back of the house. The driveway is really behind. And the pool is tiny. They just make it look big. It's like they do, like, double takes because it's really, really tiny. But the house is still decorated the original way at the museum.
Yeah, no, the house is really, like, you know, she's right. Like, you go there and it's not really, like, mansion-like, you know. It's just,
but Bobby always
know.
Wanted that simple Southern life. I mean, the house was inherited from Jock and Nazelli, so.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we're talking about them like they're real people.
I know. I just love, like, found somebody to talk to like it's real people.
Girl, every Tuesday I
And if you happen to run into any of the stars while you're down there, you could mention how much we love them and how every Tuesday we talk about them, and they would be more
than
welcome on our program.
I totally missed it, but they did a deal up at so it was like a festival of some kind down downtown Dallas. I totally missed it, but I do know where they actually tape the episodes. I've seen that. It's right across from where the depository is by JFK.
Right. That's funny. Yeah, see, the thing is like, Dallas is just legendary. And Dallas, I will say, the city has always embraced it. It's always been proud of it. And I love, like, wow, it's like, I was telling someone, I'm like, because they were saying something about, oh, they're probably shooting around the corner. And I was like, no, they're not. They're shooting in Dallas. Like, I know where that building is, and I know where that's at. They shoot there. You know, they're really keeping it authentic. Like, that's how Dallas kind of back in the 80s became such a booming oil town, you know?
Well, if you remember, until the end, like till the end when they were cutting the budgets, the original
mm-hmm.
Dallas shot in Dallas too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they did have a mock set, but they have big country western stores on the property there, and there's like a diner, and they do the big, you know, Rangers balls and all that stuff on the
mm-hmm.
property, and it's used for a lot of things, from, you know, training horses, competitions. George Strait did something there last year with a prize.
Okay, some pictures.
It was pretty cool, but I'm from Kansas City, and when I got here to Dallas, I came to a new big city, and I'm telling you, it's really interesting. There's a lot of cool stuff.
Dallas is a cool place to live. I grew up there, and I, you know, for the longest, I called it home. And now I realize, obviously, L.A. is my home, and I've lived here for 10-plus years. But it's like, Dallas is a very cool city. It's vibrant. It's like a little L.A., in my opinion. But it's vibrant. They've got amazing sports teams. They've got, you know, all kinds
and the
of
I mean,
cool
oh, yeah, the
night
nightlife
cool.
is it's amazing, some of the things that go
uh-huh.
on. And it's just, I honestly, I miss home because it's so busy and hustle-bustle. But it's a great place
right.
to be. And then, you know, like I
yeah.
said, we can just one day go
it's
up to South Fork and spend the day there. You know, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very social
it's
city. Like, there are all kinds of. What was that?
And you miss me,
name?
Don't lie.
I do
oh,
miss
course.
You, and I can't wait for you to come visit. We're going to have a blast.
I know. You know, he's coming. I have him on a world tour, basically. I'm doing a lot of personal appearances this year, and we're going to Houston. We're not quite yet. We haven't found anything to go to in Dallas, but we are going to Houston. So you may have to drive on out to Houston and hang out with this girlfriend, because we love
yes,
you.
Ma'am. Either that or we'll figure out a way to get you here.
Right, because you are officially my homie. Now that you're like, you are a Dallas correspondent of Dallas.
Oh, I'm telling you, and it's funny because I have a 15-year-old son, or 16 now, I guess, and he catches me watching him because I record him, you know, and watch him later, and so I'm
mm-hmm.
on the cable box, and he's been watching him, and he'll ask me questions, and then we're looking stuff up, and he was so excited to go to South Fork. It was funny. And he's like, don't tell anybody. You know, like, he's going to get made fun of or something. But
well,
anyways,
it's funny because it's really bringing together generations, because it's something, I mean, I don't think it really has been done to something that was
right.
that huge that,
right.
you
no.
know, so far
I mean,
removed.
We see
that it's like,
we see it in soap operas, though. We see it where they bring the new young characters in and they intertwine with the older characters. But you don't see it in something that they bring back. You're absolutely right. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah, like
right.
General Hospital's doing it now, bringing back all of the, you know, 80s and 90s stars, which is just fantastic. I love it.
I know. You know what it is because it really, like, these people did it so long, and these people know Dallas. Like, it's funny because I've seen, like, you know, the actors in different settings, and they don't talk with their accent. But the minute they become Bobby, the minute they become Suella, the minute they, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like they know Dallas through and through.
Oh, yeah,
and
those are Texas
young
people.
Actors, yeah, those young
when
people.
When you see those
like,
women and you think, oh, my God, that's
yeah,
really how a lot of these Texas
that's
women
Texas
act.
Woman.
If there's a,
yeah.
Yeah, if there's a man for money, I mean, they're driving those kinds of cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're,
yeah. But what's funny to me is the younger cast, sometimes their accent's there, sometimes it's not. But like, it's like, come on, y'all. Y'all need to up your game on the Texas.
Well,
but
I did think
slander.
Last night's acting was fantastic
yeah.
on all of their parts.
Yeah, everybody was really good. I love the scene where John Ross was just sitting there after everybody had gone, and he was
oh,
still
yeah.
sitting there. Like, that was I was like, oh.
I was impressed with Bobby's final breakdown in the bedroom. Like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think he was going to do that. I didn't think he'd break down yet.
And it was a sweet breakdown. Like, it was like a brother would break down for another brother. Like, it was
right.
Just
wow. I
want to
know,
yeah.
Where can I get the JR drink set?
Oh. You can get them at South Park, actually.
We need to make them.
Depending on the size bottle.
Sell them on eBay.
No, you can get them. You can buy them at South Park. They have, like, replicas. You can get them in different sizes, bought the sets with the drink glasses and the tray and all of it.
Yeah, but
you can get on South Park's website.
For that now.
Yeah,
I need
you can't
to have
get the original.
The
original's, like,
remembered.
In a box.
Right. We need to go to something remembered, and then we'll have it engraved.
There you go.
We'll recreate our own, Jeff. We'll give that to each other for Christmas.
Awesome.
Bitch, I want one from South Fork.
You can
don't
actually
be
get
no generic shit.
You can buy replicas of their exact hats, exact jackets. You can get just about anything.
Hat?
Yeah.
You want the 10-gallon hat, Jeffrey?
Actually, no, I would like Christopher's car. I mean, if we're really going to do gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Exactly.
I do like Christopher, and I do like John Ross. And then the rest are all growing on me, but I love Miss Dallas. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for
calling
in.
Thanks for letting me spout off a little bit.
Oh, next week, girlfriend, we've got a date.
Sounds exciting. Well, I will talk to y'all then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
love
you.
You, James. Bye-bye.
See, James, you've been holding out on us, James. Bye. You are the family member we were going to love.
Well, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What did you say, James?
I didn't even know until yesterday that she listened to the show.
Oh. I love it. James,
no, she called him last. Well, she called him last night, and she pressed one and everything, and I screened her, and I recognized the number, but I didn't. And I was like, mm-hmm. Sensory Radio, and she's like, "Hey, cousin, it's me," and I'm like, "Hi," and then she's like, "It's Jeannie," and I'm like, "Oh," and I was surprised that she called in because she was like. Yeah, you know, I see when you say stuff about it on Facebook, and I've been following it for a while, and I just want to say how proud I am of you for the opportunity that I get to work with you guys, and that she loves the show. And so when she called in tonight, I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome.
You know, she's very good on the radio. She's actually very well-spoken and very comfortable. I have to congratulate her.
Well, she need a job? We
yeah,
don't pay,
you know,
but...
We got an all-girl show she can guest host on.
Right? I will talk to her about
that. Oh, can we
really
talk
good.
About that
like,
for a minute?
Really, yeah, absolutely. I want to congratulate those girls last night. I'm so proud of my chick chats. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Did you want
so to, I call Miss Daisy May.
Uh-huh.
This bitch is at work. And have you ever seen a Margaret Cho skit about Mimi Ho from Video Hot?
No.
No, probably not.
No.
So I call her, and I'm calling her
thing?
Work phone. No, I call her work phone. And look, I ain't trying to piss nobody off, so if you're Asian, I'm sorry. But
oh,
the skit goes, and I call her, and I'm like...
Are we going to be able to post this episode? Like, do I have to censor you on Uncensored Radio?
It's not Wednesday, we're fine.
Oh, come on! Tonight was the night!
So she's like,
man.
I'm like, hello, this is Mimi Ho calling from Video Hot. Why you no written Viva Fiva? You've had this movie very, very long time. Please return Viva Fiva. So this bitch, she's kind of going out and she's talking to me and, you know, whatever. And then I'm like talking to her. And then finally, she's like, so what do you want? I'm like, I'm calling you back because of your text. And she was like, oh, wait, what? I'm like, you text me, so I'm calling you back. She thought I was somebody else. She's like, she named off like three different people, a coworker, some fag friend of hers, and her brother. I'm like, what the fuck?
She
and she's like,
the whole time.
yeah, she didn't know it was me. I'm like, what? She's like, well, you sounded Asian. I was like, well, that was the whole point of the joke. I'm like, I lived with a Japanese chick for a year. I'd hope I could pull it off. I was so mad. I was like, you dirty bitch. I said, I'm going to talk about your ass tonight on the radio. We worked together for like what? Since the summer. It's been months.
Yes.
And you don't know my voice? Like, how many other
almost
fags you
here.
Know?
She
and then
knows a lot,
she's like, the other guy ain't even gay. I said, well, bitch, if he talks like me, he gay.
He just ain't came out yet. He just ain't told you.
That's what I told her. I said, he was in the closet. I said, girl, he liked the pinochle. He's a lying to you. If he's married and got babies, honey, he's getting it on the side.
Yeah, if he talks like Jeffrey, he's definitely gay.
He's liking the boys. Well, he's liking a man. Let me not say boys, because that gets me in trouble, too. Good Lord. People just take shit literally these days. You can't even fuck around.
We don't need any problems. We already got enough problems.
We got 99 problems, and money ain't one of them.
Right. No, that's a problem, too.
No shit.
Right. It's like 2013 hasn't kicked in. The riches haven't kicked in yet in 2013.
I know. Riches. And you know what's so sad? It's I spent like $69 not on myself today buying some curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pissed that it cost me $69 for two windows.
That's crazy.
Hello Kitty curtains. It's not like, it's, you know, when things go
what?
Whatever.
You buying Hello Kitty curtains? Is this for your new roomie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, what is going
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to, like, dodge it because I don't really want to go into it because, you know, the liability.
Right.
But it's not like, you know, after this situation that what the hell am I going to do with Hello Kitty curtains? I'm going to re-gift them to Katrina for Christmas.
Well, you can always make you can always put them up in Kat's place. Like, you know, I think she might buy them off of you. She's in love
like,
with Hello
was,
Kitty.
Like, fucking $69 for Hello Kitty curtains? Are you kidding?
Yeah. That stuff is expensive. Anything for a kid is expensive. Like, I realize if you do anything for a child, there's an extra premium because parents are crazy and they'll buy their kids anything.
Well, I was looking.
So,
I wanted to get, like, curtains and, like, a bed set. You know, and all that. And, like, the bed in there is a queen. So, of course, they didn't have anything in the queen size. But it was $180 for the blanket, the pillowcases, and the sheets. I was like, $180,
what?
You can kiss my ass.
What?
Like, I can give me...
$800 to $1,000 count. Tell me it was.
No. And that's just it. I'm like, I can go to the Bon-Ton or Kohl's and go get me some 1,000 thread count sheets. Sale for $59. I'm sure as fuck not spending $180 on some Hello Kitty.
You know what they do here in L.A.? Like, there are all these places that pop up on the corner. Like, they're usually at a gas station. And they'll have 100 thread count sheets, $29.99. Like, because L.A., it's like people, you know, it's expensive to have businesses here. So people pop up. Like, they'll have little pop-ups everywhere. There's a million food trucks. There's a million, you know, people sell things at flea markets, and it's good stuff. It's not even generic, but you can buy a rug. You go down the street, buy a rug, 100 third count sheets, buy some fruit, and get, like, some roses and stuff. And it's like you can really furnish your all your home and not walk into a storefront. Like,
well, now I'm pissed at you.
Why?
Why didn't you take me to any of these places? You know how I feel about 1,000 thread count.
You know what, now I know, but it's like, when would we have had time?
Well,
when we were living the Dallas drama. Like, it was like drama
hook
every
job.
Day.
Hook a bitch up.
I barely
go get me
said
some 1,000 thread count, queen sheets, and I'll send you a check.
Okay, perfect. I will do that. Any color? Because they got every color of the rainbow.
No, I don't care.
I probably already owe you that for all the hustling you've been doing for me.
Girl, I know. I was just about to tell you.
We got
well, we
two
didn't get
hustles
a chat
today.
Possibly two hustles and then three more big time hustles. I'm just saying.
This is why I love Jeffrey Emmett. He is my golden ticket. Have I told you that? I don't know if I've told the fans, but Jeffrey Emmett is my golden ticket. Ever since he has started to manage my personal appearance career, Jeffrey Emmett has me all over the United States. dates. I mean, we're going to be announcing lots of dates soon. And this guy, if you've been wanting to meet me, you need to send him the thank you letter because he's the one who's made it possible. Because my lazy ass would just be sitting at home waiting for somebody to call me. And I'm just, it's just one of those things, He's all over it. You're all over it.
Well, I'm looking at, like,
pictures. People bought pictures today, too. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got them all, and they're already ready to go. But I'm saying, like, you could be making that money, and I could be making that money, or somebody else could be making that money. And, frankly, it needs to be us because
I have things I need.
Like, and I've already got a plan.
Radio shows, we've got, like, and this is the thing I wanted, before we go any further, I wanted to send a shout out to Chick Chat. I didn't get to finish my statement, but because that was a funny story. I love the fact she did not know who the hell you were. Anyway,
I know.
Daisy is one of the producers of Chick Chat. I want to thank her. I want to thank Stephanie. I want to thank Norma. I want to thank Toya. I want to go on the record and tell them how proud I am. Those girls showed up and showed out last night. They had a great episode. They had Winter Ramos from Love and Hip Hop, which is a huge show. I was, like, watching the show and, like, listening to their interview at the same time. She is a very controversial character on that show. She wrote an amazing book, really trying to empower women. They had a fabulous interview with this girl. It was funny. So if you haven't heard it, you got to go and listen on demand. I know that the link to that show is posted all over my Facebook wall because I've been doing it all day, and everybody else has too. But I want to congratulate them because they really, really pulled it together. They literally got the interview that morning, and thanks to Stephanie. And then they ended up pulling out an amazing interview in less than, like, within 10 hours. Like, they were like, got the interview, okay, let's plan the show, okay, boom, here it is. So I'm very proud.
Can we just say, like, Stephanie, week number 2, showed up.
Yep.
And brought a guest.
And brought a guest on a hit TV show. Damn, Steph. But I want to thank Daisy as well, because Daisy's the moderator. She is a producer on the show, and she did a very great job leading her team. So kudos to you, Missy. Kudos to you. And the other two girls, I want to thank them because they had really great questions. And it was fun. It was really fun listening to their show last night. So kudos to my ladies, my Chick Chat ladies.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was fun. But what was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you something.
There are so many things I had to tell you today that I'm like, oh, I got to talk about this, and I got to talk about that to happen. And I got nothing. I'm like, it all just Dallas, like, took over my life. And,
I know.
Oh,
that's a good thing,
so I'm after Dallas. I'm laying on the couch, and I'm playing on my iPad and my phone, my Oregon Trail Settler, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I've got Glee playing in the background, and it's a commercial, and I hear, like, what sounds like a fire alarm beeping.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, it's on TV. And then I see that the commercial changes. I'm like, oh, that's in the house. And I hear Midge going, son of a bitch. So I'm like, Midge, do we need to vacate the property? And she's like, what is wrong with you? She's like, do you think if we had to vacate that my ass wouldn't have been out the door already? I'm like, well, that's a good point to it. But I'm, I'm just sitting there all nonchalant, like, there could be a fire upstairs. Something could have blown up. Who knows? And I'm just all laying on the couch, playing my Oregon Trails, watching Glee, like, what's the problem? Do I need to go get an extinguisher? What's happening?
Right. Do I need some water on you, flower? What's going on here?
I really can't be bothered. I'm comfortable. I'm trying to relax.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a fire, just take me.
Right. So what happened? Did you figure out what was going on? Did I miss that?
It was because she had too much steam in the bathroom.
Oh, wow. She was really scrubbing
it down. It must have been because the smoke alarm is, like, towards the front of the house, so it's not even by the bathroom door.
I know. I'm like, wow, what kind of shower was she taking? It's like one of those movie showers.
I don't know, but I'm thinking I'm going to bleach that shower head just in case.
Oh, I think I just threw up. Thank you.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, God.
Well, that's not true because I'll be in Kentucky on Friday. I'm a little scared about this. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why? I want Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's Kentucky.
What? What is wrong with Kentucky?
You know, when you hear people like, oh, I'm going on vacation, where are you going? I'm going to L.A., the beach, somewhere. Where are you going? Kentucky. And everybody looks at me and they're like, what in God's name are you going to Kentucky for? And I'm like, well, a convention. They're like, what kind of convention? I'm like, well. And so, you know, then I kind of have to explain what's going on. And they're like, oh. I'm like, but I'm making money. They're like, oh, well, that's better. I'm like, I know, right? But they're all like, make sure you pack in heat because you never know.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
I'm like, I'm going to be fine. I got a Power Ranger. She'll whoop their ass.
That is funny. Well, you know, I got a mass text this morning from a gentleman with the initials JDS, and he was like, uh-oh, we're getting together this weekend. And, you know, everybody, of course, was like, yeah, you know, so we all reply. But I think it's great. I mean, I haven't seen him in a minute, but, like, a lot of the people, I haven't seen them since MorphaCon. So that was, what, August? You know?
Right.
So, it'll be fun. I think it's going to be a good time.
You have to remind me to email Steve and cuss him out for not going.
You know what, though? He's going to be in Houston. Isn't he going to be at the Houston event?
I think so. But...
Yeah, he's going to be in Houston. So, I mean, gosh.
Girl. Look, I'm convinced that I'm going to get over my fear of flights.
I know, right? Like,
I'm hoping.
I'm gonna have to get James to fill in. He's scared of flights too. Like, maybe between the two of you, you guys are gonna figure it out.
I told him that already. I was like, James, look, there's gonna be some things I'm not gonna be able to make because I'm probably only gonna be able to fly to one place. I'll drive to one, fly to another, and you got to do whatever's left because I don't know if my nerves can handle it unless I'm making crazy money. Where it's like, you know, that kind of money where you got to get the fuck out of bed to make. I don't know, Bert.
You might get over it if you're able to, like, get a good crowd. You're down for that, James? You're down to be my Jeffrey in one of those cities? Okay.
I can fly to Houston and ride back with my cousin, just saying.
There you go.
And, James, I'll even pay you. I'm going to give you 1% of what I make.
I get 1% of nothing?
Pretty much.
I pay him, James. I'm actually going to pay him, I have to, like, start invoicing him. He's got to, like, send me an invoice. Like, I'm like, okay, what do we got? What are you up to for March? Because we ain't even gone to a convention that probably owe you $1,000 already.
And you know how complicated it is? Like, I didn't really keep track of, like, the photos and all that shit. So I, like, had to go back and figure it all out. It took me, like, an hour and a half because I'm, you know, not all with it in the head.
You did already.
Yeah, I did. But I was like, I had to go and figure out the last time and this, that. Oh, my God. It was a process.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brain doesn't
too.
Work easily. So I had to go around my elbow to get to my ass to figure it all out. So
right.
I was even more annoyed
right.
because I'm like, why didn't I freaking keep track of this shit?
I know. It's really hard to, though. Like, it's one of those things where it's kind of like it is kind of difficult to keep track of. So, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Girl, Mama needs a system. So on that note, I need to tell everybody, if you would like to see Karen Ashley at a city near you, you need to email the conventions and get your friends to email the conventions and tell them how badly you want to see Karen Ashley there. I don't care what kind of a convention it is. Star Trek convention? Screw it. Email them. Tell them.
Right, exactly.
They need my price quote. She'll be there, whether she likes it or not.
Oh, damn. I know, because I was telling my boyfriend, I was like, look, August, I'm really not home in the month of August because Jeffrey's got me booked already on 3 conventions and he's trying to squeeze out a 4th. And I keep telling him, like, what the hell? Like, I need some QT quality time on my boo. But
sorry,
he's not listening
sister.
To me. Yeah, I'm supposed to get quality time in 2015.
You can get quality time in. During the week. The weekend's my... Oh, there is somebody being an asshole in the chat room. Excuse me.
What did they do?
I can't even repeat the words.
Why are they being awful?
Oh, why can't I... Jane, somebody...
Is it a troll? Because you know we get trolled now.
Oh,
we're so popular. People start trolling us, and they start posting crazy stuff. That's when you know you've made it. We know we made it when the trolls arrived. Because otherwise, they don't care. They wouldn't troll any other show if they felt like. Remember that time we were taking calls and the guy was like saying perverted things about Katrina?
And we have like 10 people on hold waiting to call. Like, so I'm like, what? I wonder if they're all trolls or what the deal is.
Let's take a few calls. We got what, like almost like 10 minutes. Let's see what happens. James?
Hello?
I'm not sure which one to take though.
There's not any calls to take? You don't want to take them? You scared?
No. I'm not sure which one to take because one of them is called Satan.
What?
And,
well, let's pop it on.
Yeah,
you know I love a good controversy.
I'm not talking to Satan.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Satan, you're
hey,
on the air.
How's it going?
Hi.
Damn, your voice sounds sexy. Jeffrey, I have a question for you.
Oh, dear Lord.
Uh-huh. Go, Jeff.
You ready, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'm always
ready.
All right, how many dildos can you fit in your asshole, and do you worship base God?
about 25, and absolutely.
25?
We're getting trolled. Mute.
Don't mute me.
Thank you.
My computer's broke. It won't work. Oh, I love it.
Oh, I love
stupid little boys with little penises that like to call in and act like they got something to say. And they're just really upset because they've got little
actually
ears.
Nice. The last time one of the trolls called, they were, like, cursing and awful. Like, they were horribly rude. But
he asked how many things I could fit in my bum.
Yes. He asked that, Jeffrey.
I know.
He
it's
said
funny.
He had a sexy voice, though, so I'll give him a pass. I forgive you, person. Okay, let's take one. Let's take another one. Let's just roll the dice tonight.
All right.
Hello?
Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
How you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you? What's up? You got a question?
Oh, well, I had a question, but I was completely cut off. My mind is just full of fuck when I heard the question you guys were just asked. I mean, I was listening to a normal conversation, like, you guys
nice.
Having, and then all of a sudden, you guys start talking about, you know, and I was reading my...
Nonsense.
I was reading my Book of Jamal, and, you know, calming myself down, and...
Wow.
You know, look...
It really affected you, huh?
Yeah.
It really affected you.
Usually you can't corner the donor, and as I was looking at it, and my catalog of finger boxes, I was just, like, completely blown away with this image of 25 dildos in a guy's anus.
You're not supposed to imagine it. You're not supposed to go to the light, Caroline. You're supposed to just put it out your mind. Don't go to the light, Caroline. Don't go.
How can you not imagine 25 dildos in a bleeding anus? You just have to.
Okay, well,
like,
thank you
like
so much
nicker,
for calling
nicker,
in, Pumpkin.
Nicker,
enjoy
yeah.
your Book of Jamal. James, take
cold,
care of this. My
you.
Thing won't work.
Oh,
what are we doing?
I told him not to go to the light. We're going to another call. It's just, like, hilarious.
Okay, this one is, the name is Nick McGee.
Yeah, hello.
Okay. Hey, Nick McGee, what's up?
What's up, man? No, just chilling.
Okay,
so are you part of this troll group, too? What website promoted it this night? Because last time we loved you guys and wanted to join and help you with other shows.
Oh, really cool. I'm just new to this. I've just moved to the USA. And, so I just found this radio.
Where are you from?
I'm from Houston.
Oh, okay. Well, where are you from originally? Like, where did you move from?
Germany.
Okay, perfect. Well, do you have
yeah.
a question for us tonight, or do you have something you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, I would just ask when you are getting out of this country.
When am I getting out of this country?
Yes, your people.
Are my people?
Never.
Big hi, motherfucker, get out. I'm here to stay.
All right. Me too. I like America. I do like to travel abroad, but I'd like to come back home.
I'm so pissed. I can't, like, my controls are not working. This is kind of devastating me. Like, I just love these guys. I really, last time they told me the website, so I went on the website and was like, thanks so much for calling in and, you know, giving us a boost. We love it when we get crazy callers. And I actually, like, they kept doing this thing where they would just go and do this to different shows. So I, like, went and joined in on them. I joined a few and did a couple myself.
You did not.
I did. It was when Mord Voldemort was still here. We had a hoot. He did one, too. Like, we were cracking up. Like, I was like, hello.
That is funny. Okay, we got to take another call because this is like the life of my life right now.
Yeah. Right, James, I want to do what?
Hey, how you guys going?
Good. Hi. You're very excited.
I'm always excited. Don't worry about me.
Okay. You got something to get off your chest? You got a question to ask us?
Yeah. I just got to elaborate on the quick story just really quickly. I was at work the other day, actually, and we had some door-to-door salesmen come by, and they were trying to sell us finger boxes, and I wasn't really interested. And one of them turned around to me and he started like, he got his iPod out and I started listening to his iPod. He started playing this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great. James, take care of it. We can't afford the rights. I'm sorry.
Maybe you could pick
a different show.
Got it.
What is that?
Got it.
Where is he coming from? What is the finger box? What is that?
I don't know.
He's like the second person to say it. Like, I feel like I was just possessed or something.
Kind of fun. This is kind of fun, though. This should be like a new segment. Monday Night Troll.
But here's the thing.
The problem is these fools will only call in once, and then we invite them to call in the next night, and they never do. They're sons of bitches.
They don't realize we enjoy this more than anything.
And what's funny is we have, like, four more. We have four more now. Since the James guy called in, we have four more people on the line. And the way I know it is because they're all on Skype. So there's Skype usernames coming up in the switchboard. Yeah.
Right.
James, I got an idea. Let's give, okay, so we've got, what is that, Choco69 Bear, Roger, I don't even know how the hell to say it. He's obviously probably can't even speak it English. Bill Tyone. Hi,
we
boy.
We got about 4 minutes.
Take all three of them?
We don't have enough time, frankly.
Damn it. We should have paid attention to the phone lines better tonight.
I don't
have time for a 3-1, really.
We only got 3 minutes left. I mean, it is what it is. What can we do?
I know. But they can call back in tomorrow night and ask.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Katie
tomorrow night.
With that.
Yeah. Poor Katie.
They can call in tomorrow night for sure. And they can call in to ask Mama, and my Mama will cuss them out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, what a night. What a night. First the Dallas review of all reviews, then the trollers. I love it. This has been a fabulous evening with my two guys, my Jamesy and my Jeffy. It's just like, wow.
And all the, you know, I really wish.
Girl.
I'm going to go and get the rights to that song, you know, eeny, weeny, teeny, weeny, shriveled, little, short, dick, don't, because that's these guys, you know.
Who has the time to do this? I'm so busy.
People that are on welfare.
I barely have time to call into our show, more or less call into, like, others. Like, I don't even have time. Like, I barely make it 5 days a week.
Like, it's really, you know.
I think I'm going to come up with an intro for them. I'm going to come up with a trolls intro.
Right. Where was the one guy? What was the one guy that had the YouTube videos? Where is he when we need him? Remember the guy that Toku, we used to think Toku was?
Oh, Anonymous.
Anonymous. Where's Anonymous?
Oh, God. Don't speak it, because then you know what, whoever it was, because you know it was one of them, is going to go do Cammy videos again and then Anonymous videos. They're going to be like, oh, my God. Yeah, no, I'm good. Love you guys.
Oh, back. I need Anonymous to come back.
We have a troll on the YouTube channel now, too.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who decided to comment on Katrina's video that I uploaded. I know.
We've made it. We've made it, guys. We've made it. Okay, so if you want to continue to listen to Uncensored Radio, you can go to My Uncensored Radio. You can find us any day of the week. We're obviously here on Blog Talk. You can like our Facebook page at Uncensored Radio, and our Twitter is also at Uncensored Radio. So be sure, tune in Monday through Friday. We're here all week, people. This is just the beginning. Shout out to the trolls! Love them bitches!
Thank you, Katie, for your help tonight.
Thank you, little crazy bitches.
We see you trolling, you hating fuckers.
Good night.
Good night.